I've asked some in the church, I've told them, hey, I need you to be ready to preach. When I was co-pastor with my dad, every service I came to church, I was ready to preach. Because I never knew when Dad would want me to preach because he couldn't. And so I have told some, and Brother Michael Moore, I'm telling you, you get ready, all right? I may need you, so be ready. So that's what we're doing. And, you know, if you'll just do me a favor, if you'll keep praying for me, all right? Taking some new medicine, I'm not sure, but what it's kind of making me sick. But if it'll help, I may just have to learn to deal with being sick, feeling. So I asked Brother Smart, many of you may not know that he's ever done any preaching, but he's a lay preacher. I've known it for years. And so I asked him Sunday night, I said, Brother Smart, I need you to be ready. Get ready. Now, he may be rusty because he hadn't preached in a while, all right? But amen him every now and then, all right? To encourage him along the way, would you? Brother Smart, come please.
I understand Brother Austin all on his knees, so if I go down, y'all just stay there. I'll just preach straight up. So I'm going to do my best to do what God would have me to do. And like you said, it's been a while. But y'all just stick with me, and we'll use God's word and just apply that to your hearts and to your lives, and it can't do you any bad. So maybe it'll do you some good. We'll be going to John 18, begin reading in verse number 1, but I'd like to pray first, and please pray for me. Our Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that what you've done for all of us. And I pray, God, that you help me to get through this. Lord, it's just your words that mean anything, Lord. Anything else is for nothing. And just pray, God, that I keep it straight with the word of God and stay on track. If I chase a rabbit, as long as I kill it, okay. But if I get going, bring me back. I just pray, God, that you have your will in the way in the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In John chapter 18, verse number 1, Jesus is speaking, or Jesus will be speaking, is speaking about when they were at the Passover, and they left the Passover and went to the Mount of Olives. And we'll get through that. It says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft time resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things, and he does, if you know anything about your Bible, he knows all things. He's omnipotent, and he knows your hearts. He knows my heart. And he knew us before we formed in the womb. So that's where we're at now. And he knew all things that should come upon him, and went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground like dead men. And the reason that is, there's power in that name. There's power in that voice. They told the Pharisees that never a man spake like this man, and never a man will speak like it again. But it says, then he asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Sounds like they're pinpointing somebody, just one person. Although there was 13 there, one on the other side. And Jesus answered, I've told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. And how did Jesus know that the disciples would go their way and not go his way? It's because he knows all things. And he didn't get caught off by surprise at anything. In the Matthew, in Matthew, verse chapter 26, I got it up here somewhere if y'all want to turn to it, make sure I read the right words. Matthew 26, in verse number 17, it says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into Galilee, to a city such as a man, and said unto him, The master saith many times, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And they went, and they got in the upper room, and they had it all prepared. And they were eating their meal, their Passover meal, and he was taking the bread and breaking it and letting them know that this was his body, eat of it. And of the wine, his fruit of the vine, is the grape juice. He said, This is my blood, drink it. And he was trying to explain to these 12 men or 13 at the time what was to happen to him on this night. And he'd been talking about it way before this, but they just didn't get it. They didn't get it. And when they were up in the, after they went to the upper room, they had sung, when they were through, they had sung a song, hymn, and went over into the Mount of Olives. And that's where they were trying to get some rest, get away from all the people. I couldn't imagine all the people that tried to get to Jesus to see him. And we see people here that hold rallies, hold this, hold that, have a lot of people. What doesn't compare to the people that wanted to see Jesus? When you have to get in a boat and push off of the bank just so they don't throng you, then you've drawn quite a crowd. But he said, let these go their way. And well, let's look at some of the ways they went, and hopefully I'll be done. We'll look at Judas. Judas went the way of the crowd. In Matthew 27, 3 and 5, it says, Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the silver, 30 silver pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. And that were the people that he paid, they paid him to tell where is he at. Because Judas was off time there. He was the treasurer. He had the purse. Not that he wanted to be a treasurer. He wanted the bag in there, what was put in. He wanted the money. And so they gave him the 30 pieces of silver. He went and he betrayed the innocent blood. And then it hit him. And it says that he went out and he said that, I remember right, he repented himself, and he was so distraught and messed up that he ran out and ran to the hill and hung himself, and it says he burst down the hill and his guts burst out on the bottom. I mean, this man did wrong, he knew it, and he took the ultimate sacrifice of killing himself. That's where Judas went, the way of the crowd. There's a lot of people hanging out with the crowd. And if you just fit in with the crowd, you're probably in the wrong crowd over here if you fit in with that crowd. And vice versa, it just don't work that way. And that's the way some of us here tonight is. We like to hide in a crowd. We don't want to be seen. We do things and just kind of mingle in. But it said, a lot of people think if I can just get that one thing, if I can just get that one thing, I'll be somebody. If I could get that job, if I could make the top CEO, I'd be making money and I'd have it made. If I could get that car, people think if I get that car, boys think if I can get that girl. Girls think if I can just get that boy, man, I'd be happy. I'd be satisfied. But looking at Judas after he did it, he went out and he hung himself. It means it didn't satisfy him. And this will not satisfy any of us if we think that that's what we need, because it's just going to mess us up. As far as the man finding the girl, the boy finding the girl finding the man, the Bible says to find your wife in church, and that's what young people need to do. But they need to find it in a way which they're not seeking out a couple's thing here. Because this is not a bar, it's not a couple's hangout, it's none of that. But if you find your wife in church, and she's in church really, and not just in here on Sunday morning and pop out and they don't come back till sixth Sunday or whatever, might not be the girl you want. Because I'll tell you, if you get the wrong girl, you're going to have a bad life. If you get the wrong man, you're going to have a bad life. You want to make sure you're getting who God wants you to have. And so anything that they do there, I still say it won't satisfy you if that's what you're looking for. But the only thing that will satisfy us is the blood of Christ and salvation through his name and through his blood. That's the only thing that's going to be satisfied. But I tell you what, I've seen people here already that's moved from front of the half church to the back of the church. All different people. And I'm like, where'd they go? Where'd they go? We need to help them out and help them to come and get up here under the preaching of the word, because the Bible says it's for reproof, instruction, doctrine. It's all good. It's all, and it's for everybody. It talks about the man of God being thoroughly furnished that he can rightly divide the word of truth. Well, he's not just talking about him. If you're a man, you're a man of God. I mean, you're one, you're a man of God. That's what it is. And it's everything's good for each one of us. But that's the way the crowd went. That's the way some of these people here might go. So just keep your eye on it. Stay under the word. The disciples went the way of compromise. That's the way they went. Peter compromised. When they were in the garden, Jesus told Peter, if you read it, it talks about them coming out there with the staves and torches and all that. Well, Peter jumped up and he tried to cut somebody's head off. And either Jesus made it miss, or the guy was very fast, you know, very fast. But he cut his ear off, and Jesus picked it up and put it back on there and said, you fight with a sword, you die with a sword. So we see here that Peter, after he did that, and they took Jesus off, it says Peter followed afar off. When we get afar off from God, things can happen. I got afar off from God and was not used to God for a long time. And once you get away from God, you start to do things you wouldn't dream you'd do. And I know, man, I was just like everybody. Nah, not me. I ain't going to do that. I wouldn't do that. But if you're not careful, you'll wake up finding yourself in the big middle of a mess. So instead of falling far off, you need to stay close. It talked about when Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. He said he heard a noise far off. There was a noise. And that's what it sounded like, because they were just going crazy. And they were away from the man of God because he went up on the mountain. And so you can get out of the will of God and you can mess up your life. But thank God that you can come back and get it back. Because it said after that, but Peter, this is how far he went, okay? He told him, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. Peter said, not me. I won't. But they do it. I'll die for you. I'll die with you. Not me. It wasn't, I can say it probably wasn't 15 minutes later. 15 minutes later, he was afar off. He was warming himself with the crowd, hiding him with the company. They started noticing him, said, hey, that's a Galilean. He was with them. He's part of their crew. He said, no, I'm not. They said, no, surely you are. I've seen you. I've heard you. And he goes, man, not only am I not, I've never even met the man. But Peter said, I've never met the man. And then it said he started to cuss. So that's a good Baptist, in with the crowd, cussing, and just going on. But then it said Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was so messed up. But then on the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 got saved and added to the church. And the way I read that, I could be wrong, but the way I read that, it said they got saved, added to the church. We need to, when we go out and visit people, hopefully God's dealing with them and you've got enough power God will do that you can deal with them and they'll get saved and then added to the church. Because if you just get a bunch of people in the church, you just got a church full of devils. And you got to get them saved, but they're messing with your people while they're in there. So we got to be careful about that. I wanted to go the way of the cross when I heard about it. I didn't know Miss Susie. But at the time when she was working at Lenox, I got a job. Didn't know what was going on, man. I was young. I was like 24 years old, had one kid, one on the way, no job. And I was like, wow. But a guy I used to smoke pot with and hang out with said, hey, dude, my dad will hire you out at Lenox. I said, well, and his Mr. name was Mr. Russell. He said, yeah, you can come out here and hire. But they didn't tell me I was crossing a picket line to do it. I've never dealt with a union or a picket line or anything like that, but hey, they were offering me good money at that time and good hours, and I went. And I got called everything in the book. And I was like, what's wrong with these people? And if you don't know, Lenox, when they have a shutdown, everybody takes their vacation at the same time. Take 2 weeks off, it's shut down. If you don't have the time off, you work with the maintenance crew, and you can do that. So I had to go to work with the maintenance crew, and I got with a guy that was a saved Christian, but had been calling me scab and everything else. And he said, God got on his heart and said, you ain't right. You need to go get this right. And I mean, I worked here for quite a few days with him. The day he finally figured out he had to get it right, he was maintenance. He went to pick up a piece of quarter-inch steel. He couldn't get out. Finally, somebody come by and let him out, and he goes, man, I got to go talk to him. I got to go apologize. I got to get this thing right. So they did. And then he had a friend named Brother Lovell. I don't know if you know Denny Lovell, but he put me on a pallet, put me on a forklift, put me 10 feet in the air welding, and preached the hell out of me the whole time I was up there. I come down off that thing just bawling, wanting to get saved. I was like, man, what is this? And just like the thief on the cross, he said, we deserve this. We deserve this. The one's a smart aleck. You know, be God, take us down, take me with you, you know. And he said, the other one said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And the Bible says that our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Doesn't say disappear, because if it disappears, it can reappear. But if it vanishes, it's gone. So you have to get saved when God deals with your heart. I don't know. All I know is that the Bible says that God deals with your heart. You accept it, and you trust in him for your salvation, and you're born again, and you get to go to heaven. And I was born and raised a Catholic with six siblings, crazy mama, and a dad that just wasn't there. He worked too many jobs, had three or four jobs all the time to take care of seven kids. So I was telling him up there, you know, I've heard Jesus died for our sins, and so everybody just go to heaven, is what I was told. And then I was thinking about it, I said, man, there's no way that's right. There's no way that's right. There's got to be something else. And that's when he was telling me, it's personal. It's you either accept it or you reject it. But you don't go to heaven if you don't accept it. And so I got saved that day, and I tried to do right. Went to a bunch of different churches. I preached at a bunch of different churches. I preached on the beach of Galveston. I preached corners, on the street corners. I preached across from Brother Roloff at the water gardens. And I mean, I just was having fun. It was the best, funniest thing I've ever done. And I thought going out and getting high and all that was pretty fun, but no, doesn't even compare. Doesn't even compare. You get saved with Jesus on Friday. By Monday, you're higher than you were on Friday. And no drug I know lasts that long. So I just stick with Jesus. But we take the word and we apply it to our hearts. And your friends, your family, they all need to be born again. They all need to be saved. I got my mom. I went down. I bought her at a garage store sale because she said, you can't read the Bible. Only the priest can read the Bible. I said, yeah, that sounds good, don't it? So I went down and I got a Catholic Bible. It says Holy Catholic Bible. Guess what John 3:16 says? The same thing in that one as it does in this King James. The man got to be born again. And I showed her that, and I don't know if she just didn't trust me or she just embarrassed or whatever, but she would talk, but she wouldn't talk to me. She talked to my brother, which at that time, devil. He talked to my sister, at that time, demon. They're bad, man. They're bad. But she would talk to them. But they said before she got died that she accepted Christ in the bedroom. And that's what I have to go by. I can't go by anything of that. My dad, I don't know if you know it, but my dad is going to cut down a tree. Single woman, my mom's already dead. Single woman over here, single woman over there. Jerry, you do this. Jerry, you do that. Can you help me out? So he scrambled up here. But he went across to cut down a tree for the neighbor. It's about a 60-foot willow tree. It was a big tree. Not that big around the bottom. Well, the tree was standing next to a retaining wall. When he cut it down first, I said, I'll do it, Dad. He goes, no. I said, I'll do it. No. I said, well, I'm going to tell you the same thing you tell me. Get up there and clean that junk all off from around it. So if you got to run, you can. No. So he gets up there and he's cutting it. And he's like, right here. The tree's here. He's here. I'm 4 feet away here. And all of a sudden he's there. And then he's not. I'm like, what? The tree had fallen and rolled off of that retaining wall. And when it rolled off this way went up. And it just came down and hit him on the top of the head. It went right down his body. It broke a square out of the top of his skull that big. And every time his heart bleed, that it just flowed on top of blood. And he was talking to me, and I was talking to him. He goes, my head hurts. I said, don't touch it. Your hands are dirty. And so he didn't. I looked down there. He had titanium knees, had them forever. Looked down there, and his legs were going like this. He broke both his eye sockets, broke his breastbone in half, broke everything. I mean, he was messed up. But for 24 hours, when I was down there, I was squatted down like this. Bad knees. I was talking to him, and I was asking him, Daddy, have you ever been saved? I've done it before. I've talked to him before, but never in that depth. I said, you've got to be born again, Dad. You need to be saved in order to go to heaven. And I mean, I was getting nervous. And I was sitting down there, and he told me, Jerry, don't worry. I've been saved. I've been born again. I was in a Methodist church. Sorry that I let your mama take you to a Catholic church, but I've been born again. So then the helicopter shows up. They come down there to get him. I said, wait. You're going to have to pick me up and move me. I can't stand up. I can't walk. And I did. When they picked me up, my knees just went up with me. And they set me over there. And they start taking off. And I got in the car, tried to catch them, got to the hospital. I went to Harris first because that's where they said they were going. I get over there. No Dad. I'm like, oh, God, he done died. Nope. They detoured the JPS. Went over there, found him. For 24 hours, he was as coherent as all of us in this room. I mean, very with it. All my sisters got to see him. All my brother got to see him. Even people like Crazy Casey, which is his nephew, walks up there and goes, Grandpa, can you see me? He goes, yeah, and I can hear you too. Back off, man, you're too close. And they sit there and mess with him in the hospital, but he stayed that way for quite a while. So he got to say bye to everybody. Everybody got to say bye to him. But I tell you what, it was a crazy thing. It was a scary thing to think that your dad might not have been saved, to know that your brothers and sisters are not saved. They all say they're saved now, but none of them, I don't understand this, because Jesus led me to a fundamental, independent Baptist church. He didn't lead me back to the Catholic church. Paul said when he got saved, he left Rome. Counted it all but done. All but done. Dung. Poop. You know, so in case somebody don't know what dung is, it's poop. So counted all that away. So they went up there and they was all over him, but none of them went to the right church as far as I know. You get up there and I think Vicky went to a church with my sister-in-law one time and she started falling out on the floor and gobba dobba dobba and all this stuff. So they were in the back laughing. They left. You know, said, we got to get out of here. But the thing is, it's real. One day you will die. There's nothing you're going to do about it. Nothing you're going to do about it other than you get born again. And if you do, you got a great thing coming. If you don't, you're going to be just like the rich man, wanting water in hell. And everybody says, you know, they're in a better place now. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. But it's our job to talk to them, pray for them, try to keep them with you on the straight and narrow. Keep them in. I'm telling you, I knew an evangelist, and he preached every night of the week and twice on Sunday. He raised four kids in a bus. He was always somewhere preaching, revivals, tent meetings, all this stuff. And he, losing my train of thought here. Lucky I got it this far because I'm losing words here. But he compromised, and he doesn't even have Baptist on his church sign no more. He's as contemporary as he can be. He preaches good. He believes salvation the way it should be. But I would never stop in that church driving down the road on vacation and say, no, I don't think so. And I'd find me an independent Baptist church. You can't go wrong with a good independent Baptist church. It was Baptist for John. It's Baptist for me. But y'all think about it. I mean, really think about it. Look at your life. Because I don't know you. I know you, but I don't know you. But God knows everything about the heart, everything. So you're not getting away with it, and I'm not getting away with it, and I don't care how deep you dig a hole. God knows. He'll find you, and he'll deal with your heart. And you better get saved when he deals with it, because one day he may never deal with it again. I believe from what I'm reading, God says he's bound to show each and every person on this earth salvation. One way or another. But he only says do it once. He don't have to do it more than once. He does. Some people he does for years. Years. Some people he does it once and he never touches again. Because he knows what's going to happen. But he deal with them, but they just won't do it. So you either get saved when God wants you to, or you might not get in. So if God's dealing with you about anything, I would get it right. He's dealing with me about a lot of stuff. Has been. You should see me out here on the mower going crazy after I found out. I just, oh, God, I couldn't even get my thoughts straight, you know. Oh. But leave it up to God. God can do something with it. Thank you.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. fire.